Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
To the show, Brad Herta, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. I am excited about today. I am like giddy like a millennial today almost.
What? Absolutely. Not, you know, like frumpy like a, not frumpy like a, you know, Gen Zer?
Frumpy like a Gen Z. What are you talking about? Yeah, you don't even know. Hey, it's a generational show, man. Get your shit together.
You know, like, you know, so like with mine, you know, they walk around in their hoodies and pout all the time. Like, you know, mom and dad suck and all this kind of crap. You know, and they sit on their couch, use their technology. It's kind of great, you know, but
because they're 12.
Nah, they're older than that one. She's at driver's training today. So
even better.
Even better. It's great. It's great. So what do we got lined up today?
That's so today, so worth it. Today, I am so excited because we have a returning guest, Daniel Felt from Cura Homes. And two, on our last show, he indicated he'd be more than happy to try something different. And he brought with him a younger person within his organization, Garrett Olson. And we're going to try this little bit of long-term, long format, argumentative, maybe get into some root and some details as to why things are the way they are for different people, different generations, and get in some meaningful conversations. So I'd like to welcome Daniel Felt from Cura Homes and also Garrett Olson from Cura Homes back to the show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is where you would speak, Garrett.
Oh, we're already getting into that. So before we get started, we're going to ask you the question I always forget. So Daniel, accustomed to this, Daniel, what generation do you best fit in with or identify with?
Yeah, I fit in and was born in and identify with millennials. Well, I don't know if I identify with because I'm like an 80-year-old boomer at heart. I'm an old soul. So I don't know. Maybe I don't identify with those guys. But I was born in 1989, so I'm right smack in the middle of the millennial generation there. But like I said, identify as a very old man and an old soul.
Awesome. Garrett, same question. Which generation do you identify with and fit in with?
So, born in 1996, so you know, right on the edge of millennial and Gen Z. As far as you know, which one I identify more with, I would say, I guess bits and pieces of both. Maybe slightly more Gen Z, I would say, but yeah, I guess definitely aspects of both.
Awesome. That's awesome. And Brad's a boomer. Me, just a Gen X. So we're good. We got everybody.
I can play that role if I need to. Or Daniel and I can switch roles, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll play around with it.
We'll see how it goes.
Right? Awesome.
All right, Steve, you're going to get the first question here today, so let her rip.
I'm going to get the first question today, so perfect. So let's just jump right into kind of generation-wise. With a millennial and a Gen Z, how do you guys find interacting with each other in the workforce? You know, is it positive, negative challenges that happen? Let's go through all of those. So we'll kind of go with Daniel first, and then we'll jump over to Garrett.
Yeah, I think for me, as you know, my role in the company, I'm the owner of the company, but I also have tried very hard to allow managers to run the show and I really, really delegate and not micromanage anything. And I think I've been really fortunate to have some really good managers in place. And Garrett is our operations manager at this time. I get along really well with Garrett. We get along great. I think we have a mutual respect for each other. What I don't get along with super well at times, and I have to put an effort into it, is the next generation down. Some of my guys that are coming in that are, you know, 18 to 22, 23 years old. Right now, there's for sure a gap in the mindset, and I have to very diligently think of creative ways to motivate them, to get them to, so we can all accomplish the same goals. So we also have some people in our company that are in their, you know, I'd say in the I don't know if they're quite boomer. They're in there somewhere. They're in their 50s and early 60s. So not sure where they're at. Blazem, Brad, you maybe know. I get along with them really well, and we're all great. So with Garrett and I, we get along really great. And I don't know if Garrett and I have ever really had a disagreement. I think because of that mutual respect that's there, and I think that could probably go across a lot of generations. What's tricky is finding that mutual respect with age groups, like as it gets farther and farther apart. And I think as I've been running this business, which we've been in business for 7 years, I notice that gap increasing. It seems like every 6 months, I feel like it gets a little bit larger.
All right, Garrett, your turn. Tell us what you don't get along with Daniel about. How you just can't stand, right? Because you're at the tail end of that millennial Gen Z. You know, how you just can't stand those older millennials.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like Daniel said, we got a pretty good relationship going. Don't disagree on too much. But even like he was kind of saying on some of like the younger guys we got hired on that are like between like the, I'd say like 18 to 22 mark, can definitely kind of tell, you know, a difference just in, you know, what motivates them, even as opposed, you know, what motivated me. And I'm just, you know, a few years older than them. So
what is your motivation, Garrett? What does motivate you?
I mean, I feel like on one side, money kind of motivates everyone to an extent, but also what I think is even more important than that is just having the freedom to kind of make your own decisions, not being micromanaged, have someone constantly over your head hammering you, like, make this quota, make this quota, make this quota. But yeah.
And what are you seeing with that 18 to 22-year-old? What are you guys seeing from a motivation from those gentlemen or ladies or whatever they are today in today's society?
I'd say a big thing that I've noticed with them and also is important to me as well as just is being able to take time off, you know, not being basically chained to the company, having to come in 5 days a week, you know, 40 hours with no chance of PTO or taking time off. I think that's a big one.
All right, Mr. Daniel Felt. He teed it up for you as the business owner and as the, you know, the old soul at heart. How does that make you as the owner feel that you got a bunch of employees that don't want to commit, so to speak? They'll commit, but just for 4 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, here's what I've done to try to combat that. We created a bonus structure, and I think a lot of people like this, but it's kind of working, but it kind of isn't. And the bonus structure, and we're now like 6 months into it, or for 5.5 months into it. We started at the beginning of the year, and it's an attendance bonus. If you show up on time every day, your first week, you get $10. If you show up on time every time, your second week, it's 20, and then 30, then 40. So it goes on. If you request time off at 2 weeks in advance, it's accepted, you know, approved time off, you're good to go. So if you show up on time every day the entire year, your last week of December, it's going to be a $520 bonus, which accumulates to be like $13,700 roughly for the year.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. Now, there's more. Wow. If everyone in the company shows up on time for the 7:20 tech meeting, I will double your bonus that week, which means that if everyone showed up on time, they could get roughly a $27,000 bonus on the year. And a lot of these guys are making $18 to $21 per hour plus tips plus commission. So for that, so you'd think like, holy cow. Now there's a caveat. If someone no call, no shows, no one gets their bonus that week. So if you were on track to get a $100 bonus that week, it would be put on hold. You don't get your bonus because one of your teammates didn't show up that week. So that was going really well until we had one snowstorm in Minnesota. And yeah. You had more than one.
My oldest son lives there. You had more than one.
Yeah, exactly. And so I've tried so many creative ways to try to get these guys. And I think one of our guys who's part-time, and we figured out a creative way, and I don't know all the details on that, and he's on track. He's 5 months in, and I think he's like, he works, I think, 2 days a week. So it's prorated. I think he's like getting about $100 bonus a week right now.
Yeah, it's showing like 150. Up on time. 150 is out.
Right? Yeah. So he's a $150 bonus.
I'm coming to work for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you guys are luck. We're hiring. So we're trying creative ways to combat some of these things of knowing that, you know, hey, people are not, they don't necessarily want to come in with that. And what we're trying to do to combat that, rather than like sit there and argue and put on the punching gloves and go to town on this thing, we're just looking for more part-time employees that's what they want. And Garrett's 100%. I've with Wright that it's like, hey, I want part-time. One reason why I started this company is because I had like 3 weeks of PTO built up in my previous company. I wanted to take 1 week off during the slowest week of the year, and it was denied. And I was like, I like, call me crazy, but I'm like, there's nothing for me to do. I'm out of here. And that was one of a few reasons why I left that company and started Cura Home. And I'm glad I did, because now I've got to meet a lot of great people like you guys. So at Cura Home, one thing that is for sure is anyone that's ever requested time off, if they've done it within 2 weeks, it's been approved. Everyone's time off has always been approved for sure. And that's one thing that Garrett has noted. So we're trying to combat it, but I think long-term I'm at the point right now where rather than having 20 full-time guys, I would take 40 part-time guys, because when they say they're going to show up that 2 or 3 days a week, they do show up and they give it 110%, where a lot of my full-time guys on Friday, it's like, end of the week, they're groggy. Like if we have a callback, you look at statistics, it's pretty likely to be on a Friday because guys forgot a drill, or maybe they didn't do as great of a job on a Friday afternoon as they did, you know, Tuesday afternoon.
I'm just floored that you have the opportunity for a $13,000 bonus to show up on time.
Mm-hmm. That's also, you know, perfect world. No one gets, no one gets sick, but still a pretty good incentive.
So just from a detail perspective on that. So, okay, week one, $10, week two, $20, week three, $30. I miss in week four. Do I go back to $10 or am I done for the year?
Nope. Goes back to 10 and you have the opportunity to work your way back up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn. That is impressive. So wow. I don't even know where to go with that. That is right? That is new information here. And you heard it first here on Blue Collar BS Podcast with Daniel Felton and Garrett Olson from Cura Homes up in Minnesota. Attendance bonuses. As an opportunity, and yet people still will not take advantage of it.
Well, you know, you guys, start running the numbers, right, and you look at what's the cost of not doing a $1,200 or $1,500 day, and yeah, there's the financial loss, and you're never going to get that day back. But also, for our business right now, a huge majority of our work is coming in because of referrals, and so I think in my observation, you kind of get three strikes with a customer. And like, you know, rescheduling once, you got a strike. Maybe the technician shows up at the end of his 2-hour window rather than at the beginning of it. And you're kind of like half strike, you know, you're pretty close to two strikes. Then like one minor thing happens, like, you know, he trips down the stairs and he scratches the paint or something. Three strikes, you're getting a bad review and you're never going to be referred by that customer, compared to you show up when you said you're going to show up, which comes into place with that bonus. So not only because you were on time to the tech meeting, so then you're on time to your first job. You were then part of our training, which made you a better technician as well, because we have a 90-day reoccurring training program that all these guys are going through. It's a win-win. I think
the ROI has got to be fantastic.
For sure. If I gave you 13 grand, you would be an all-star phenomenal technician at the end of that year, because you would have just been killed it. And you would have made way more too, because of all the tips and upsells that you got because you were on time and the information that you got from the tech meeting that Garrett leads each morning.
Wow. All right. So there's a positive thing that's going on and taking place. So Garrett, as a younger person in the trades world and coming in, I guess, how were you treated by your elders as you were coming through I'm not sure all your background before you got to Cura Homes, but how did that path to be in this home improvement space, maintenance space, how did you get here? And what was that like with, you know, some of the boomers or Xers along the way to get you to this point?
Yeah, I guess kind of seems like those are kind of two. I'm going to answer that kind of separately as far as how as I got here and kind of the interaction with boomers. How I got into Cura, I was originally doing sales and logistics for a company for about a year and a half. Got laid off in the beginning of COVID when, you know, the economy shut down. They thought no one was going to be shipping for who knows how long. Ended up coming over to Cura because I had a buddy who worked here at the time. ended up really liking
bonus?
It.
Did you get a referral bonus, Garrett? Did your buddy kick you a referral bonus? Part of
that? Nah, he probably pocketed that bonus.
At times, we do give a $500 bonus if someone stays on for 90 days.
Yeah, but it's the person who got them on, not the person who came on.
Yep. Oh, you got to split that.
But yeah, so then, ended up taking a job here. Originally, it was just kind of going to be an in-between gig, and then ended up really liking the work, really like working for Daniel, really like all the guys here, just really like the environment as a whole, and then ended up staying on, and now here I am as operations manager. And then kind of going back to the second part of that question, I guess I don't really run into any issues per se, like within this company, just because, we're not super huge. So don't, have a super huge employee pool of boomers. But one thing I've definitely noticed is when I go to job sites, given estimates for commercial air duct cleaning, stuff like that, definitely have gotten comments about being young or looking young, stuff like that. So I feel like that's definitely kind of something I need to overcome and just kind of, extra prove myself that I have the knowledge and the skills to, do a good job for him versus, some of the other guys who look like they're 50 and, just look like your classic tradesmen. Like they've been doing it for 20 years.
Are your fingers all yellow from smoking?
Yeah, exactly. The rusty white van, but
it's not white anymore. It's rust.
In that aspect, I feel like there's definitely been kind of a challenge there, and not every job and estimate is like that, but definitely can kind of feel the skepticism sometimes when they're asking me questions.
Okay,
so elaborate on that a little bit more, because we want to dig into some common, whether it's a misconception or perception, when we're working with different generations with the preconceived notions that they have. For you, it's age, clearly, with the boomers. But how does that manifest? Manifest in a way from you've mentioned you have to quote unquote overcome it. So clearly there's some animosity. And I'm just going to call it out. So clearly there may be some animosity there. So how does that, in your mind, how are we working through that?
I guess working through their doubts or I guess I just kind of, sometimes I'll over explain things or, or even my vocabulary, I'll try to almost use not dumb it down. Kind of try to use vocabulary.
How about this? How about not using like?
Yeah. That's a hard one.
That would be a key one, though.
Yeah.
Or saying, my bad. I'll help you out on this little, Garrett. I think one thing that what I've tried to do as a business owner, knowing that we're sending very young technicians, and Garrett, you brought it up, is, and we just covered this in a training meeting yesterday, is informing these guys, giving them so much knowledge that they come in as the area expert. And the little things that we do is teaching our guys, as dumb as it sounds, but the garbage disposal, which we clean and sharpen for our clients when we visit once a quarter, that was invented in Racine, Wisconsin in 1927. Now, can anyone honestly really even care? But when you've got Susie homeowner who's maybe watching over your shoulder or whatever it may be, and you're trying to have small talk and she's like, oh, why are you doing that? And these guys know that it was actually illegal to have a garbage disposal in New York until the 90s. And some of these kind of random facts are like, wow, you really know a lot about this. And it's like, yeah, I might be 19, but you're right. I do know a ton about what I'm doing. And when you portray that confidence to the customer, they really know they start to trust you. And they're like, you know what? I'm just gonna let you do my thing. And I'm going to go jump on a meeting or whatever it may be. So with that, I experienced the same thing that Garrett is talking about. When I started this company, I was 26 years old. And what was really challenging then is having no reviews online, having zero reputation anywhere. No one has seen your vehicle driving down the highway. At least now we're knocking on the door of 1,000 Google reviews. And we've got, 17,000 people on our Instagram. People, they see you and they're like, okay, all these other people trust you. And you build this online presence and, you have your vehicles driving down the highway each day. it's a lot easier to be a respected brand. And then with that, your employees are wearing that. But we do so many things to build respect. The way that we knock on a door, take a few steps back, stand, you know, take a step down on the stoop, so that you're just doing all these little things so that people feel confident and comfortable with you in their home.
Fair. I like it. I actually appreciate the fact that you're equipping with like all the employees going out to the site, like having those discussions to equip them with the knowledge, because that doesn't happen in a lot of businesses today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for us, we're trying really, really hard to build a long-term brand and a long-term relationship. We visit our clients, you know, we have over 800 clients that we visit every 3 months, take care of all the routine maintenance. They can cancel anytime. And with that, like, they've had different technicians at their house. We can't send all of a sudden one guy who knows absolutely nothing. And he's like, oh, could you tell me where's your utility room? Every utility room in Minnesota is in the basement. We know where it is. Just go down there. Don't be dumb. You know, so it's like just equipping these guys. You know, we want to keep our clients on. You know, our average client last year signed on for $418 a quarter. That's a very valuable client. You don't want to be losing these people by not training your employees when you've worked so hard to get them on board.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that's spectacular. So one of the things that, you know, when I do one of my talks on multi-generational workforce and things, right? Garrett, you kind of talked about a little bit of money is always somewhere a motivator at some point for that sense of security and safety and different things. But what I have found mostly is that, you know, in the vast majority of cases, that's not necessarily why people are working anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Because that is pretty much taken care of either through your own personal opportunity or other things that are going on in society, different things. It's that sense of community. So Garrett, you said this was going to be a interim gig. This was just mm-hmm. going to be a stopover, a holdover. Hey, yeah. I need something to do.
Had I known that, I never would have hired you, Garrett. Right. We'll talk later.
Hang on. Pre-show, there was no repercussion talk. But you said, hey, this is going to be a part-time. This is just going to kind of be a holdover till I find my next thing. So two questions. What was it that you were going to go look for after this coming in to the organization? And then the second question of that is, what made you stay along the way?
So first question, I would say,
right, what were you looking for at the same time while you were working at Cura those first 6 months as well? I mean, those types of things.
Well, I guess wasn't really looking at the same time, but like I had kind of like a preconceived notion, you know, before starting here is like, you know, like I'll be here for a few months, kind of look for like another something along the lines of sales is probably where I was going to look for. Maybe something in logistics again, but yeah, more so was probably going to look at sales. But I'd say what kept me here was just a combination of Daniel being a good boss. Like I said, he does not micromanage one bit. It's kind of like, you know, you have a long leash until you don't, and you kind of mess that up or like, you know, betray.
Don't do stupid shit and you don't get a leash. Got it.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, yeah, long leash. But yeah, and just like the camaraderie, I guess, with all the guys. I guess when I started, we still got a handful of the same guys. Obviously, you know, not 100% the same crew, but that was a big part as well. Just enjoying working with the guys, good atmosphere. Everyone got along. No one's sitting there yelling at you, stuff like that.
So would you say there was a sense of community?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And relationships that were being built?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you do a lot of work, a lot of things with some of your teammates outside of work or not so much?
Not so much. Usually we'll have like a yearly, we'll do like a yearly thing, you know, like this last year we went and played whirly ball and laser tag. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of whirly ball. It's mm-hmm. basically like a short lacrosse stick on some bumper cars. But yeah, so I guess not like on a weekly, monthly basis, anything like that. I mean, I have conversations with the guys and the techs about stuff outside of work and non-work related, you know, all the time. At the end of the day, they'll usually pop up. We talk and stuff. So whether it's me and another tech one-on-one or like a group of us, seems like at the end of the day, everyone kind of always comes together and will at least chat a little bit.
Cool. Hey, everybody. Brad, just popping in here in between episodes. We've had so much fun with these Cura guys that we've been able to split this episode into two pieces. Part two of the show will explore the differences in interviewing Gen Z, some things that happened during the interviews, and how to create problem solvers in your company, and so much more. Looking forward to giving you episode 61 soon.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.